Good morning, Scoop Nation. You are listening to the Morning Scoop for, what is it? I guess it would be Friday, November. See, I'm all messed up after last weekend's game, man. I don't even know what day it is. It's December 2nd, though. And as I mentioned, you're listening to the Morning Scoop with myself. And on today's show, we have the one and only Nevada Buck. I know, Nevada, it's been a while since you and I had a chance to sit down together. So how have you been?
You know, it's been a weird week. It's always great to be on with you. It's been a weird week. It's almost the whole Michigan loss seems kind of surreal. And the aftermath of that's been a little surreal, but every day is getting a little bit better. And maybe we get a little luck from TCU or USC this weekend, and it makes some of the hurt go away. But it's definitely been a crazy week. But glad to be here with you.
Yeah. It hasn't been the best. I will say that it took a few days to cope and like get back to the swing of everything and get back to feeling positive. So I don't know how Michigan fans have done this for, 17 of the last 20 years, 21 years, whatever it's been. Cause I can barely do it 2 years in a row. And
but you know, those years when we were getting beat by Michigan back in the day when they were better than us, yep. You know, like it's kind of easier to take. I think this one's harder to take because no one will ever convince me that Michigan's better than we are. I mean, they won fair and square. No, we cheated. It wasn't the refs. It wasn't the weather. It wasn't, they won the game. But I think if we play them 10 times, we win 8 of them. Yep. And it just happened to be one of those days where, you know, they played a perfect game, you know, all credit to them. McCarthy played great. Harbaugh coached a great game. Ryan Day, for all his faults and all of the rightful criticisms about his play calling, I mean, he made one of the gutsiest calls in serious history with that fake punt, and the center snaps it to the wrong guy. Yeah. So it's like, a little thing like that, it could change the game. It could change the narrative, and everything can turn on one play, but it didn't. So what do? You got to go on. You got to learn from this and move on. But yeah, it's been a tough week.
Yeah. I think TJ and I were talking about it earlier in the week where, it's just poor execution. Like all the narratives that Ohio State got blown out or that they were out physical. Like, I don't believe that. I just think didn't execute at a high level, which was obvious with all the penalties, the false starts. You get into a 1st and 35, G Scott headbutting a guy on the sideline, obviously the fake punt. I mean, you can't play like that against a team like Michigan. And credit to Michigan, they took advantage of, those opportunities and they played, more of a clean game, more of a flawless game that they needed to in order to get the win. And like to the fake punt point too, I think that was also the drive right before they went on like an 8-minute drive to finish the third and scored. And then all of a sudden it's a totally different game and Ohio State has to play catch up in the fourth.
Yeah, but you hit on a good point though. It's like I hate these lazy narratives, like where people want to try to sum up the game in one word, like we broke them or soft yeah. or they burst or they cracked or, and it's like, hey, well, let's just call it what it is. Michigan was able to be the benefactor of some big plays that went for touchdowns where Ohio State wasn't. Michigan avoided big penalties. Michigan got a little bit of luck. We didn't. Michigan, played a clean game. They played their best game of the year.
Yep.
And Ohio State didn't. And that's really what happened. And so, but to try to draw these like broad and we're tougher and we've got culture and all, I mean, it's such, it's such a bunch of garbage. It's just like when Ohio State beat Michigan, it wasn't because our culture was better. It's because we were better, So I thought Harbaugh coached a good game and I give him credit, but sure like to get that one back. And I'm sure Ryan Day would as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe he gets another chance this year. Who
never,
knows?
I mean, you never know. It's been a crazy year. So why wouldn't there just be one last bit of crazy thrown into it? Yeah.
We may have an answer tonight with the USC game.
Yeah, we might. Yes, we might.
So who knows? It would be an interesting year to be able to play Michigan twice. But I think if it does happen in the playoffs, I agree. I think, Ohio State plays a better game if they don't play and don't shoot themselves in the foot as much and, you know, limit as much of the big plays that that happened for Michigan. And I don't think that Michigan would be able to replicate that in a second game. So, you know, could be good for Ryan Day. And I think he can prove it himself if he he's able to get that second second matchup. But we're here today to talk about some of the top stories here going on in college football, both around Ohio State as well as around the playoffs. And obviously with the Brian Hartline stuff comes some other kind of potential news with what's going on with UC. But before we dive into everything, do just want to remind you guys to check out BuckeyeScoop.com. All of our content here, as well as additional content available on the Ask the Insiders board, is always available there. So be sure to check out BuckeyeScoop.com and become a member today. And also like and subscribe to the YouTube channel so that you can stay up to date with all the most recent video content as soon as it's released. But looking at Hartline, obviously it was broken on the scoop yesterday that Hartline was potentially going to go down and interview with UC for the head coaching position now that that Luke Fickell is gone. Obviously, he came out today and made a statement on Twitter saying, my heart is at Ohio State, and he has no plans on going anywhere. So just wanted to get your kind of insight into how that all happened, what you're hearing around, you know, his potential both with Ohio State for a longer term kind of role within the offense, or, you know, what that would mean, what him turning down UC kind of means for the Buckeyes going forward.
Well, I think, I mean, to be fair, what it means is UC turned down Brian. Brian would have taken the UC head coaching job had it been offered. I don't think he expected to be offered. I think, you know, think about it from his standpoint, all it can do is enhance his position within Ohio State. If he lets them know that he's a potential head coach at a school like that. So there's no downside to him. He gets good practice interviewing in a situation like that. And he gets to go back to Ohio State and say, hey, my heart's not in and I'm certain at Ohio State, he's the conquering hero. But from Ohio State's standpoint, it's just, you know, it's great news because you keep those fabulous wide receivers coming in. Mm-hmm. We don't need more upheaval right now. And, I think it's kind of a stay the course type of thing with Brian, and it's nothing but good news all the way around. So I was happy for Brian. I thought he played that perfectly. And I think it was a perfect ending for Ohio State as well. So all's well that ends well.
Yeah. And I know it's been said a few times too, like, you know, I guess the question has been asked a lot, like, does Brian Hartline want to be a head coach? And I mean, I don't know, you know, what coach in college football doesn't, you know, at least take the opportunity to explore those possibilities and to move his way up. But UC, obviously, it made a lot of sense to me in my mind too, as a potential landing spot for Hartline, even to, like you said, show his chops at head coach to, you know, maybe eventually kind of supplant Ryan Day in the future if Day were to take a NFL job or what have you. But, you know, if it's not UC, I mean, do you see another program potentially, you know, outside of kind of like your major players, but I think it would be something smaller like a Cincinnati. But is there a team that you would be on the lookout if it came open that Hartline would take a serious look at?
Well, I mean, I think any Power 5 job he's going to take a look at. I think he's going to be, you know, interested in, like I said, it can only enhance his position. Make no mistake, Brian wants to be a head coach, but he's just not going to leave for just any job. Mm-hmm. So it's going to have to be a special job. It's going to have to be a chance, you know, a place where he has a chance to do well. Because, you know, the worst thing to do is to leave to become a head coach and then you don't do well, you know. So he's got to have a chance to win wherever he's going to go. So I think it's going to have those things are going to have to align. But I think Ohio State fans are just going to have to realize that, you know, I'd be shocked if Ohio State went the route again of hiring another guy who without any head coaching experience after the Ryan Day experiment. So I would guess that head coaching experience would be a prerequisite for Brian before he became a head coach. So it's just, I don't think it's a matter of if he leaves. Mm-hmm. I think it's a matter of when. Hopefully it's not soon, but I think it's just something we're going to have to ready ourselves for at some point in the future.
Yeah, unfortunately. And, you know, who knows what happens, but I would love for Brian Hartline to be a lifer with this team, with the staff, what have you, in whatever capacity. I mean, you mentioned it earlier with the recruiting and just how impactful he's been in the short time he's been wide receivers coach. And, you know, he's quickly become one of my favorite former Buckeyes. I will say that too. And we'll get to a little bit more with you know, the potential kind of possibilities for Cincinnati here towards the end of the show. But the other big news that that came out was that the Rose Bowl has finally voted to expand the college football playoff. I know you were pretty close to some of this happening, and you have your ear on a lot of like those conversations. So I wanted to really pick your brain as well on just like how all this happened and like where we got to this point and why it took so long for the Rose Bowl to come around with some of these other bowls in making that decision. And I guess kind of what goes into that sort of process.
Well, I think the Rose Bowl really tried to display that they had some leverage. You know, they feel like they're a different kind of a bowl game, the granddaddy of them all, the most lucrative of all the bowl games. But the reality is they really didn't have any leverage because the bowl championship series would have moved on without them. And then they just would have been left out and looking for teams 13 and 14 to fill up the Rose Bowl. So as much as they wanted to bluster, as much as they wanted to pretend that they had leverage in all this, they didn't have any leverage. So, you know, it was just a matter of when they were going to sign off on this. I think they did it last symbolically to show that they were kind of like the last reluctant holdouts, you know, like some Japanese soldiers on the Philippine Islands until the 1950s or something. But the reality was it was inevitable. They had to do it. It's good for college football that did it. It was good for them that they did it. And college football is changing, and we all have to accept that. You know, I don't like some of the changes. I was not a big fan of NIL when they were talking about it for some of the reasons we've seen. I haven't been a fan of expanding the playoffs. I think it devalues potentially the game and the regular season. So, but I think these are changes that we have to get used to because it's here, it's happening, and I know the Rose Bowl's big on tradition, but traditions change and mm-hmm. this one changed, but it was an inevitable change. So I think any of their deliberation or holding out was strictly symbolic.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think also too, it was brought up earlier in the week that there was a potential that the Rose Bowl may select Penn State over Ohio State if Ohio State didn't make the college football playoff. So we may see something like that this weekend, but what is the thought process behind that?
Well, I mean, the Ohio State has been to the Rose Bowl, you know, a couple times recently. Last year, they did not, you know, buy their full allotment of tickets, and they had to return tickets to the Rose Bowl. And, you know, at the end of the day, these bowls are businesses. And so I think they're just looking at it as that Ohio State fans have got Rose Bowl fatigue. Yeah. Penn State's only been twice this century. Let's give it to Penn State. Their fans will be super excited to come, and Ohio State could go somewhere else. I think it's there's really no more to it than that. I just think, you know, when you get allocated 30,000 tickets, you only sell 17,000. That's a problem, and I don't see it being any better this year. So, you know, as we talked about at the top of the show, let's hope for a miracle. It's not going to take a miracle. It's just going to take, you know, the probability of either USC mm-hmm. or TCU losing this weekend, and let's go to the playoff and make something happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of kind of what I think about when I put those two things together as well is it's a little bit almost, maybe not hypocritical, but a little bit ironic that, as you mentioned, like the Rose Bowl is very focused on tradition, the granddaddy of them all. You know, they want to maintain that level of, heightened kind of sense around it. And, you know, then they don't necessarily make the same decision about money when it comes to expansion, the way that the college football playoff might impact that. But when it comes to teams in the actual Rose Bowl themselves, you know, looking at taking more of the money with a team like Penn State, who hasn't been there as much, and kind of almost bypassing the tradition of, you know, who is actually getting in. Granted, you know, traditionally it's the champion of the Big Ten, which Ohio State would not be, but anyways, I digress. So outside of that, as we mentioned, though, it does impact the college football world by allowing for the expansion to 12 teams for the playoff. I believe starting in is 2024, correct?
That's correct. 2 years from now.
And, you know, just looking at even like, I mean, obviously you've seen every week, I feel like when the playoff rankings are announced, they put out some sort of, or somebody puts out some sort of, this is what the 12-team playoff would look like this week. And, you know, I think it's going to be good. I mean, you know, teams like, you talk about fatigue, and you're going to see a lot of the same teams, but it does give the opportunity for a team like Tulane, potentially, or a team like Washington to get in, or, you know, some of these teams that maybe haven't been in either a long time or wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity. I guess how big of an impact do you see that making just on, you know, kind of, I guess, the landscape in and of itself, and then also, I mean, how that changes the kind of expansion within each conference?
Yeah, well, like I said, it's good for a lot of teams that are on the fringe, a lot of teams that haven't been there, a lot of teams that want to get there, you know, but as an Ohio State fan, just think back on Saturday and think about the Ohio State Michigan game. If you know that there's a 12-team playoff, so really you're just playing for seeding, you know, then I think your decisions are different. I think your decisions regarding who you play, who you don't play, you know, in a 12-team playoff, it's really going to, you know, 12-team playoff, think about it. It goes Ohio State Michigan game, Big Ten championship game, and then potentially, you know, three games after that. So you've got, you know, five games in a row against ranked opponents. So it's going to be, you know, the college football champion, national champion used to be the team that was able to sustain season-long excellence. Now it's going to be the team that's the healthiest and is able to get hot the last 5 weeks of the season. And that's just different. It's not any better. It's not any worse. It's just different. And so I think, you know, as an Ohio State fan, not sure I like it, but like I said, it's coming. It is going to, you know, it's going to change things. It's going to change the way we watch games. It's going to change the way games are interesting. And maybe it's great for Wisconsin fans, but as an Ohio State fan, I warned on NIL, I remember people were like, oh, it's all about the kids, Nevada. NIL is going to be great. And I'm like, I don't think you guys really quite realize what we're doing here.
Yeah.
And now I'm not quite sure, you know, all the people that were like cheering on NIL, I don't know where they are now, because I think they realize what a mess it is. I think expansion of the playoff, and also I'll call this right now, they're not done at 12. They will not be done at 12. They'll go to 16. They'll go to 24. You have to remember the college basketball tournament was 16 teams in 1974, and then it was 64 in 1985. So from 16 to 64 in 11 years. So buckle up.
I guess, it likely, I'm sure, has some sort of impact on regular season, not just from a, like you mentioned, seeding standpoint. It kind of takes some of that out. But also, I mean, especially if you go to 16, if you go to 24, if you continue to expand that, I mean, what do you do with the regular season, like number of games wise?
Well, they're not gonna limit it. It's just gonna be a longer season for some of these kids, because they can't afford to lose home games, because, you know, that upsets everything. So I think it's just gonna be a longer season. It's gonna be more like an NFL season. And the NFL is great, don't get me wrong, but I love the differences between the NFL and college football. I thought they were both great in their own way. I don't think they needed to be exactly the same. And now it's feeling like college football with instantaneous free agency and you know, the portal and transfer, and it's like an NFL with instant free agency and a single elimination tournament at the end, and you know it'll be different. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, and with NIL too. I mean now, you know, kids have the ability to make money too. So I mean, it is becoming a little bit closer to the NFL. So, you know, you have a longer season. And I think, you know, the biggest argument against that before was the whole amateurism argument of, you know, not being an amateur sport to, you know, force these kids to play, you know, 16, 17 games, whatever. But, you know, if it moves that direction and they have the ability to make some money off of their NIL, then maybe it does loosen it up a little bit for the season to be longer, which I am 100% behind. I already think it's too short. I mean, I can't believe we're already through the regular season. And I would watch college football, you know, 8 months out of the year if it was allowed to play 8 months out of the year. So we'll see. I mean, I had never really thought about it getting to that big, but I mean, it makes a lot of sense, you know, when you put it the way that you've put it too. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, 20% of the, or it's 20% of the college basketball teams make the tournament. And I think that'll be the ultimate move. They'll say 20% of the 130 something teams should make the playoff. And that's 24 makes it off. I'm just telling you, that's where this thing's going to end up.
Well, I won't be mad at it. I'm of the mindset that, like I mentioned, you know, I want to see more games personally. You know, it's a little bit selfish maybe, but, you know, I'm always for kind of the changes, you know, improvements to not only kind of the season, but also, you know, how it impacts kind of the larger focus of the sport as a whole. And I think it will be good.
Well, let me ask you, do you think NIL and the transfer portal have made college football better or worse?
Worse short term, better long term.
Okay.
Because I think you're right. I think with it just right now, it is just a cluster of, you know, nobody really knows what to do, right? And I think as it becomes more of a understood and, you know, focus, I guess, it can make it better. But it has to, I mean, you have to have some sort of guidelines. You have to have some sort of governing body, maybe. I don't know what it would need to look like in order to get it there. But I do think that as it continues over the years, and is especially just as things change with, you know, expansion and you know, the NCAA and everything with that, that there is the possibility for it to come into its own in a sense. And it might look totally different at that point. But I think it's the catalyst to a lot of those changes. So ultimately, in the long term, I think it would be better.
Fair enough.
And then the last point we had here is primetime. Obviously, Deion Sanders getting looked at, much like Brian Hartline is, to be head coach at a lot of places. I know Colorado's been thrown out. I know Nebraska's been thrown out. I know Auburn was thrown out, and Mississippi State. And I mean, he's been tied to pretty much every head coaching position that's been open this cycle. And the latest is University of Cincinnati. Tom Herman just recently was introduced as the Florida Atlantic University head coach, which takes him out of consideration, obviously, for UC. And I know there's a longer list of candidates here, but, you know, as it comes to primetime and Deion and UC, do you see that as being real, or is it just smoke right now?
Well, I think it's real, but I think that, I mean, and again, I'm probably in a way minority position on this one, but I'm just not sure why Deion Sanders is such a great college football prospect head coach. Great player, mm-hmm. dual sport guy, one of the greatest athletes, you know, to ever play the game. But as a head coach, I don't know. I mean, I think any of these programs that are legitimate, like a Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a legit program. They're going to the Big 12. They're a legitimate program. You know, if they would risk it on somebody like that, man, that's something else. So I'm not seeing it, but maybe it's just right there in front of me, and maybe he's a great college football genius and not just the guy that does the commercials with Nick Saban wearing the funky blue jacket. But no, I'm not seeing it. But no, I can guarantee you that the interest from Cincinnati is real. They want to splash higher. That would be it's flash, but yep. I'm not sure if it's splash. So we'll see how that breaks down.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is definitely he brings energy. I mean, he's a lot like Kerry Coombs in that respect too. Like when Kerry Coombs was brought back, I wasn't super sold on it, on him coming back to Ohio State, but what sold me more on it was just the energy that he brought to it. But that wasn't as a head coach. I wouldn't necessarily think that he would be, you know, a short list candidate for any head coach. Although I think, you know, obviously he's the interim head coach at Cincinnati right now too. But I think, you know, that's the flash behind it. Like you said, it's a name that everybody knows. It's a name that kids know. It's a name that, you know, just brings excitement back to the program. But does it actually turn into results on the field? Who knows? I mean, I don't think it's necessarily time. I think eventually he will get something like that, but I don't know that it would be that that big of a jump at first. You know, I'd like to see him go somewhere, you know, maybe a little bit smaller to get his feet kind of wet at the group of five, you know, stage, maybe prove that he can, and then make a jump to a bigger program. And, you know, maybe he is a all-star head coach, but, you know, I mean, maybe Nick Saban's giving him tips and pointers in those, in behind the scenes in those commercials. So you know, he might end up in that Saban tree of coaches by virtue of, was it Aflac, right?
It's Aflac. Yeah. Yeah. I did, you just wonder though, because there's just so much more that goes into being a college football head coach than just, you know, being up there on the field. I mean, much more so than recruiting, much more. I mean, it's, there's huge responsibilities that go way beyond that. And can Deion do that? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So it would, it'd be fun to watch though.
Yeah. I mean, you can say the same about Ryan Day. Ryan Day hadn't been a head coach and he comes in, he's got a lot that he does really well. But he's got a lot to figure out too. And there's a lot that he needs to kind of soul search to change. And, you know, I think he he's proven that he is a good head coach, but he still has to take some steps to be a great head coach. Brian Hartline, you know, I think he could be a good head coach. But again, in, until you see it on the field and until you you actually have that experience, it's a totally different ballgame to go from a coordinator position or, you know, a head coach at a smaller school even to then jump into a Power Five program and expect to see a ton of success right away.
Now, are you still on the, I'm glad we got rid of that Urban Meyer guy thing there, Ryan?
I mean, glad. let's put it this way. And here it was my argument against the whole thing. I don't, I mean, I'm glad that we got Urban Meyer, like period. I mean, I think him coming into the program was really good for the program. I think he left in a good way. A good-ish way, the best way that maybe he can. but I don't, I mean, he's, I don't, I'm not of the mindset that, oh, we need to bring Urban back. Let's put it that way. I don't think that he, I think people give him a lot of credit for what he was able to do with the program. But, you know, he made the playoff twice, won it obviously all once. But then the second time he got blown out by Clemson, 31-0. And then he's got gets blown out by Purdue and gets blown out by Iowa and, you know, doesn't make it back in his final 2 years. And it's like, I just don't see the allure of people that think we need to bring Urban back.
Well, I think it was that 7-0 against Michigan. I mean,
yeah,
right now, right now we haven't made it to the playoffs in 2 years. And we haven't even gotten out of the we haven't been to Indy in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So like, I mean,
I get it. I get that, I mean,
there,
part.
There's an old saying. I mean, like you look at the programs. I mean, just go through the list of programs from the 90s that were great. The Florida States and Tennessees and USC's and Washington's and every single one of those programs is Texas has had a down period and we've been able to avoid it. And I've always been saying like, how does that happen? It's like a little bit of, little bit of time and then all at once. Like, are we on the edge of it happening all at once? I don't know. I feel like we're at a crossroads now.
I mean, yeah, I guess you never see it coming, right?
No, you know, you don't. You
everybody really thinks don't. That they're on top of the world until they're not. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's to that point yet. I think, you know, Ryan Day has made one significant decision in an off season that, you know, to positively impact this team. That was last year, obviously, with bringing in Knowles. And I think he'll be better next year as well. But I think after this coming season, we got to see what he does in the next few months. After the season ends, you know, what decisions does he make to make the changes that he needs to make, either himself or bringing in people, to get back to that 7-0 kind of record. Maybe he just has to sit down with Urban and bring Urban back as an analyst. I mean, I know it's not a likely possibility, but I think there are ways that you can get back to that. And to me, a lot of it just starts with like bringing in people that can really hammer home what the game actually means and bring a little bit more intensity to this team. And I get culture's big and you want people to feel comfortable, but like you got to make them uncomfortable in a lot of ways, especially when it comes to something as big as the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry. And I don't think he has that, but I think he can get it.
Yeah, I just, it's going to be interesting because he's fired, you know, what, 30-40% of the staff last year. Like, I'm not sure how many guys he's going to fire this year. I would not be surprised to see at least one guy that I can think of right at the top of my head that I think will definitely be gone. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Ryan does because, like, you're right, he's going to have to do soul searching and, like, all this stuff, this commitment to mental health and the foundational mm-hmm. stuff and the Make-A-Wish Foundation and the Adopt a Puppy and all that's all great. But like you said, sometimes you got to make people uncomfortable. Yeah. And Meyer had an act to do that. He went everywhere. It was, you went in at Ohio State. It wasn't a fluke. It wasn't some cosmic mm-hmm. accident. He went everywhere. And we expect that. We deserve that. And we got to get back to that. So.
Yeah. And I think it's coming. I think it's coming as Gus Johnson said, right. And I think it was a few days ago. He said, just don't worry guys about Ohio State fans. So if Gus Johnson's saying it, then I believe it as well.
All right, there you go. But, go Gus,
you know, world famous. Let's go. But that is going to do it for us here today. Scoop Nation, thank you as always for listening. And thank you for watching. Of course, as I mentioned at the top of the show, be sure to like this video and subscribe to the YouTube channel so that you can stay up to date with all the latest video content coming out of all of us here at the Buckeye Scoop. And be sure to check out BuckeyeScoop.com for more great content and for more great community on the Ask the Insiders board. Nevada, as always, appreciate you you jumping on with me here today. Great conversation and looking forward to talking again soon.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
Take care, bro.
Bye-bye.